Greetings in the name of Jesus to all that have come out this morning. What a blessing to be gathered together to worship. And I appreciated the songs that were chosen and scriptures that were read thus far and discussion in the Sunday school. May the rest of the service continue to point us to our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a message this morning, I've chosen to consider a phrase that's found in Luke chapter 1. You can turn with me to that for a beginning. Luke chapter 1 tells us the story of the days before our Savior was born and what took place. Messengers were coming to the earth with exciting news, with news that would change things forever. And one of these messengers came to Mary. And you can look here in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Mary, a virgin of the city of Nazareth in Galilee, a virgin espoused to a man named Joseph. And Gabriel, the angel, was sent from God. We see that in verse 26. And he came and told her that she was going to conceive and bear a son. And verse 32 is the verse that I would read here in the opening. This is the angel Gabriel speaking to Mary, telling her about this. He says, "He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest." And that is the phrase that I've chosen to consider this morning, is that is the Son of the Highest. And I've given the title to the message here, Sons of the Highest. This word, highest, is a title. And if you no doubt look in your Bible there in verse 32, you'll notice that the word highest is capitalized, indicating that it is a title. Now, it's not always a title, as it's used in the Bible. The word appears other places as well, but it is a title here. And the word simply means, as a title, it's the supreme. The supreme. Or the supreme God. He shall be called the Son of the Highest, the Son of God, the supreme God. This Son, turn with me to Matthew 1, this Son This son's birth was prophesied many years before this. In fact, it was hundreds of years before. Notice here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, this is the story of what happened to Joseph, the man to whom Mary was espoused, the lady that we just read about, thought about. She was espoused to Joseph, and he was he discovered in that time of espousal that she was with child, and he was minded to put her away. But God came to him in a dream and told him that he should not fear to take Mary for his wife, because something very special, in fact, miraculous, was taking place. Now in verse 22, Matthew, the writer here, tells us this. He says, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Who was the prophet? Who was the prophet that foretold this? Turn with me to Isaiah, book of Isaiah, chapter 7. Isaiah 7 and verse 14. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." So there we have the prophet. It was the prophet Isaiah who prophesied this. Now Isaiah's prophecy took place under the reign of a number of the kings of Judah and Israel. And in the 700 BC and into the 600 BC, into those centuries, that was when Isaiah lived. So over 700 years before, probably, was when he received this, was when Isaiah prophesied about this Son of the Highest. Now, let's turn back to Luke in chapter 1 again. And I'm going to read now, starting at verse 30. The angel Gabriel had come to Mary and greeted her in verse 28, and she was troubled in verse 29, and in verse 30, he said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Mary said, "How shall this be? How shall this be that I will conceive and bear a son, and he's going to be called the Son of the Highest. And he's going to be a royal son. He's going to be given the throne of his father David, and he's going to reign over the house of Jacob forever. How's this going to be? Well, the angel Gabriel said, it's because of the power of the Highest. The power of the Highest shall overshadow thee, he says. Now, if we turn, you can just put your finger in Luke 1 if you want to, but we'll turn back to Isaiah again and look again at chapter 7 where we read. And look at verse 14. Thinking about the power of the Highest. Verse 14, the prophet Isaiah said, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Now, that, when I read that and study that, that makes the chills go up and down my back. When I think about the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Turn with me to Psalm 18 for a picture of the Lord. Of the Lord himself. A picture of the power of the Highest. David wrote this psalm. And here in my Bible, in the introduction or the heading above the psalm, it says that it's a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. It's David's testimony to the Lord's power and the Lord delivering him. But I'm going to start reading at verse 6 in Psalm 18. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard me. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. And he goes on and he speaks about how the Lord rescued him. Look, what a stunning picture of the power of the Highest. And this, David mentions this title in verse 13 is mentioned. The Lord also and the Highest gave his voice. This is the one who said, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Isaiah, in chapter 7 of Isaiah, was bringing a message to King Ahaz. King Ahaz was a king of Judah, and he was a wicked king. He was worshipped idols. And not only that, he I'm getting a little ahead of my story. King Ahaz was facing a very serious situation. The king of Israel and the king of Syria were confederate, and they were coming against him. And their plans went something like, in verse 6 of chapter 7 here, he said, they're saying, let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. So they had plans to come and overthrow Ahaz and set up a puppet king. Ahaz, as I said, did not follow the Lord. And so he did not turn to God for help in this. Instead, he was turning to Assyria. Assyria at this time, the Assyrian Empire was expanding, and Ahaz was turning to them. In fact, if you read in 2 Kings 16 and 2 Chronicles 28, you can get the full story of what all Ahaz was doing. He was trying, he was attempting to pay Tiglath-Pileser, the Assyrian ruler, to come and help him out. In fact, he went to the temple, and he was taking things out of the temple. He cut off one of the things he did was cut off the legs of the brazen sea that Solomon had made, the brass. He cut that off, and other things he took out of the temple to give to Tiglath-Pileser to have him come help. Isaiah was instructed by the Lord, verse 3 here in chapter 7. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear-Jashub, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field, and say unto him, take heed and be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and of the son of Ramallah. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Ramallah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, and I read this before, what they were saying. Verse 7, thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. And he goes on and speaks about, gives some time frames of how when this was going to fail and how Ephraim was going to fail and not be a people. And then in the end of verse 9, he says, if ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. God's message to Isaiah gets right down to the problem that Isaiah had, and that he was an unbeliever. He was not following after God. He was following after idols and worshiping idols. He was not leading his people in worshiping God. But God in his mercy was extending to Ahaz his help. And he says in verse 10, moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. God said, I can help you. If you'll believe what I'm telling you, I am, he's the most high. The power of the highest can help you. Ask it in the height above or in the depth. But what did Ahaz say? Verse 12, I will not ask. Neither will I tempt the Lord. He continued in his unbelief. He was not going to ask. And in fact, it seemed like the one writer that I read, he was writing about this story. He thought perhaps that from what Isaiah said, I neither will I tempt the Lord. He was going back to a passage in Deuteronomy, where the commandment was that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It seemed like he was trying to fall back on that in a attempt to cover up his hypocrisy. He says, I will not ask. And I can almost hear the Lord, verse 13, when Isaiah was acting like this, he said, hear ye now, O house of David. Now, Isaiah was part of that. He was part of that house of David. But the Lord was talking to more than just Ahaz here. He says, hear ye now, house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. And we read that. The sign is a miracle. This was a miraculous thing that God was going to give them. And that's what God had told Ahaz. He asked for a miracle. Ask for a sign. It was to be the miracle that was in the heights above. Right? God said, ask it in the depth or in the height above. What was in the height above? It was the power of the highest. It was going to be the Son of the highest. And this miracle was going to be that God was going to come and dwell with his people. That's what Emmanuel means. And Matthew wrote that in Matthew 1, where we read, which being interpreted is God with us. See, there's the deity and the humanity. God with us. This was a miracle sign. A virgin shall conceive. Now, if we turn back to Matthew again, one verse here. Matthew, or Luke brings it out as well. Luke, the angel told Mary that the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Matthew writes it this way. Matthew 1, verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, before they had any relations, any marital or any sexual relations, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And I read 22 and 23. And in verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. This son of the highest was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Now, looking again at Luke chapter 1, at the same time that Mary received this news of a miracle, there was another miracle baby. And we know the story, or probably most of us do, the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth, and that's in chapter 1. We won't take time to read all of this. But Zacharias and Elizabeth were well stricken in years. They had had no children. They were old people. But God sent the angel Gabriel to Zacharias, told him that he is going to have a son. Elizabeth is going to bear him a son, and told him that this son was going to, in my own words, be the one that prepared the way for the Messiah, for Jesus to come. In verse 17, he says there, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zacharias, of course, we know, did not believe that this could happen. He was a little bit like Ahaz in that respect. Not that he was an unbeliever, but he didn't believe these words that this was going to happen. And he said, he asked for a sign. He said, whereby shall I know? That's in verse 20. Whereby shall I know this? I don't understand all of the Lord's workings and why with Ahaz he said, ask for a sign, and then when Zacharias asked for one. Perhaps it was because there was no need for a sign in Zacharias' case. The angel had told him what was going to happen, clearly. And Zacharias was not in the place where Ahaz was, as an unbeliever, as an idol worshiper. In any case, Gabriel did give him a sign. Verse 20 says, behold, thou shalt be dumb, not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words. Then we know that came to pass. Zacharias was not able to talk for well over 9 months. But when he did get his tongue back, he had some things to say. Not only to his wife and whoever else may have been there, talks about their kindred there in the rest of chapter 1. But Zacharias prophesied beginning in verse 67 of chapter 1. I would like to read starting in verse 76. He says, and thou, child, he was talking to the everyone that was there, but then he talks specifically to his son, John. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Notice that he mentions that the day spring from on high hath visited us, thinking about the power of the highest and the Son of the highest. He says, John, you are the prophet of the highest. Verse 76. So this was the prophecy that a virgin will conceive and bear a son. Now, let's begin reading here in chapter 2. We have the beginning of the chapter. There was the order that went out from the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus for the taxing. They were all to go to their own city. In verse 4, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. So there we have it, the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. The son was born, the miracle boy born of a virgin. God with us. The angel to the shepherds said, Unto you is born this day. And that echoes what the Lord had told the prophecy that Isaiah. He said that it is, well, I can't quote it now. Back in Isaiah 7, he said, The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Unto you is born this day. Glory to God in the highest, in the heavens. It's not a title there, but it is the same word that is used, the same Hebrew word translated here, highest, in verse 14, is the same word that's translated highest in chapter 1. Talk about the Son of the highest and the power of the highest. Glory to God in the highest. And this thought of the highest continues throughout or into when Jesus was riding into Jerusalem on the donkey. Remember what they sang, what the children, what the people said, and the children sang, Hosanna, Right? They sang that. Hosanna in the highest. I'm going to read here from Luke 19. Luke 19 and verse 38. Luke gives an account this way. This was as Jesus was riding on the colt, and he was riding, verse 37, when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." These people were believing the power of the highest and what he was doing. But again, there was unbelievers. There was unbelievers here at this time. We could read that about the Pharisees, how they told Jesus, "Well, you should make them be quiet." Well, Jesus said, "If I would do that, the stones would start to shout. The stones would immediately cry out." This was the power of the highest. Now, in the final thought here of the message, I gave the title as Sons of the Highest. Jesus, in his ministry, used this word. And you can turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 is sometimes called the Sermon on the Plain, but much of the teaching that's in Luke 6, starting in verse 20, is similar to the Sermon on the Mount that we find recorded in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I'm going to start reading here at verse 27. Jesus said, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, but love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. Here it is, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. But ye be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." I'll stop reading there. Children of the highest. Jesus said, it's being a child of the highest has to do with love. Now, we know that that's not in our nature. That's not in our human nature to love. Turn with me now to John chapter 1. The power of the highest is able to change our hearts so that we can have a new nature. John chapter 1, now verse 12 and 13. You Bible readers know that this beginning of this chapter is speaking about the Word and the light, and that's the pronoun here in verse 12, the pronoun he. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So, Jesus the light, Jesus the word, the living word, as many as received him, he gave power He gave the power of the highest to become the sons of the highest, the sons of God. But it's through faith, believing, not as Ahaz, not as Zacharias, not as the Pharisees. And not in our own strength. Remember how Jesus was conceived of the Holy Ghost? Born of a virgin. He was begotten. The only begotten Son. Turn to chapter 3 here in John. Those that become the sons of the highest, that become the sons of God, must be born again of the Spirit. Jesus is talking with Nicodemus here at nighttime. And Nicodemus had this question about Jesus. He's a teacher and so on. And then Jesus began to teach him something. He says here in verse 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." That passage teaches us, Jesus teaches us, that the new birth is being born of the Spirit. It's the power of the highest, the power of the Holy Ghost. That through that power we can be born again when we believe. Now turn to Romans 8, verse 16 and 17. Just expanding this thought of children of God. Verse 16 of Romans 8, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." And now, Hebrews chapter 2. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We're sons of God. The Spirit bears witness with us. And as I read here in Hebrews chapter 2, I'm going to read verse 9 to 18. There's a thought that I think comes, for me, helps, comes full circle to thinking about the virgin birth, the incarnation, we call that, where God was made flesh. God took on flesh. Jesus was 100% God, 100% man. He was the perfect God-man. But the thought, well, let's start reading here in verse 9. He says, "But we see Jesus," Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, "who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory." There's that, sons of the highest. Through Jesus, he says, "in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brother." Remember, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We're brothers, Christ's brothers. Verse 12, "saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing a praise unto thee. Then again, I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me." He's quoting from the Old Testament in verses 12 and 13. Verse 14, "forasmuch then, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood," and here's the phrase, he also himself likewise. Now, I don't know how you can make it any stronger than that, that Jesus is the perfect God-man. He's the only begotten Son of God, and it's he also himself likewise. He's a partaker of flesh and blood, is what he's saying here. Took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That's what you were telling us this morning, Brother Cody. 1 Corinthians 10:13. He might be a merciful and faithful high priest to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. That's what the angel told Mary and Joseph, that this man is going to be a call his name Jesus, because he's going to be saving his people from their sins. The Son of the Highest came and took on, and he also himself likewise took part of the same, took upon himself flesh. We sang about that in one of the songs this morning. I can't think of how it was said there. I think it was maybe in the song, May All Mortal Flesh Be Silent. Something about being vested in human flesh. Jesus is a man. He was here as a man. He's a man. He's a man in heaven. And he's the man that will be coming again. And so, while we have the opportunity today, may we believe by faith and continue to trust in him for salvation, that we can be sons of the Highest. Allow the Holy Spirit to direct us in our daily lives. We can be merciful and faithful. May God bless us in that this week. Shall we kneel for prayer?